Step into the world of A is for Adversity, a podcast where we explore the journey of motherhood. Join us weekly as we navigate the intricate garden of self-discovery amidst the trials of motherhood. This is your space to nurture your identity and bloom. I'm your host, Jen Banks. Thanks for joining me on the podcast this week. I am so happy to have you here. A reminder to follow me on Instagram at A is for Adversity if you're not already. Your interaction and comments on there really help people find the page and the podcast, and I really appreciate it. As you follow me, you'll be the first to know about big things coming. I am writing a book in April, and there's a lot of other things coming, including a big reveal. But in the meantime, let's continue on with our fabulous guest. This week, I interviewed Tina, and she is a feng shui master, and she has practiced feng shui for a very long time, even before she knew what it was. So she definitely has a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge on the subject, and it was just a fabulous conversation to get to know her better and to hear what she does in the world. I am here with Tina Falk. How are you today?
I'm doing really great.
I appreciate you willing to come on, and I can't wait to hear what you have to share with us. Before we do that, though, I just want to kind of get a sense for who you are as a person and as an individual. Oftentimes, we combine our identity with what we do, but there's so much that's separate. So just tell us a little bit about yourself and then what three of your strengths are. I'm curious.
I was curious too. About you kind of sent me like, here's a couple questions I might ask you. And so I was like, I don't know what my strengths are. So I started texting people.
There you go.
I texted my husband, my daughter, and a colleague who's a dear friend of mine to see. And I was really surprised. And I was like, oh, I don't think I would have picked those for myself. But I actually feel like I am that. So yeah, I've been living here in Utah since 1995. My husband and I moved out here from the Twin Cities in Minnesota, and we love it. Every day to see the mountains, we feel like we're on vacation, even this long, almost 30 years now. And we just love everything about this area, really. I can't imagine living anywhere else. And I moved out here for a job, a small ad agency. I went to art school in Minneapolis, and it just snowballed from there. We have a couple kids. We've been married for 35 years, going on 36. So we've been in it for the long haul. And I think we'll be here we just kind of look at each other. Oh, you're still here. Really grateful to have that solid kind of connection and have a good friend and just experience the ups and downs of life together.
Yeah.
So are you ready for my strengths?
I'm ready. I think that's a great idea that you asked people because it's true. They can see a perspective that we might not notice right away.
Yeah, or appreciate or wonder if anybody's even paying attention. Integrity was from my husband. He says in that, to him, that was an all-encompassing kind of word or characteristic. And my daughter, she's 21, and she's a very self-motivated person. She's just super eager. She's a quick learner and she just wants to excel at everything that she does. And she said, I'm a doer. She says, you don't just talk about things and not do them. Like, you make it happen.
Awesome.
And I was like, wow, I definitely can feel that in myself. All that other talk that doesn't want to make things happen happens internally. So I definitely make sure that when I do speak, it has context to it. It has purpose to it. It's got direction and it's motivating rather than just speaking. I'm not good at small talk. I don't think it serves the soul to talk about weather and stuff like that. I like what you're doing here to go deep and get to know people more. Yeah. And then my friend, who's a colleague of mine, he said, your wisdom. And I was like, he said, you're one of the wisest people I know. And I thought, where does that come from? And I wonder what that means without asking him to elaborate. And I think it's my intuition. I really lean into that and have slowed down my life, my day enough that I can be really aware of those fleeting, subtle, intuitive hits when they happen. And I don't miss them. And so I work on that, and it's part of the work that I do.
Wow, that's fascinating. Thank you for sharing. And it's neat that they all three go together, I feel like, because with integrity and being a doer, you're doing what you know needs to happen and what you've said is going to happen. And then also your intuition is living in alignment with who you really are and sharing that with others. Yeah. Thank you. That was neat to get a little deep dive into your strengths.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what are some of the hats that you wear day to day?
There are two main hats that I think that I wear and I think that we all wear, and they are teacher and student. I think we vacillate. I think it's a thin line sometimes. Sometimes we're dancing the line, especially with our kids, especially with clients or spouses, of am I in the teacher role right now and it's for me to share, or somebody's asked me for help or insights or whatever, or am I supposed to be the student? Even if it is a 2-year-old or a 21-year-old, what am I here to learn? And so I always see every opportunity as me being the student. I feel like I'm a perpetual student, and I don't like giving up that role. But in my career, I'm a teacher. And the third role, which is fairly new for me, just 7 months, I'm a grandma. And I think that's a big role. And I've told a couple of people, I think that's why I was born, to be a grandma to this little baby and any more that are to come.
That's awesome. Well, I love your unique take on that. I feel like that's an answer that I wouldn't always expect. So I love how you put that. We are the teacher and the student. And then, of course, that grandmother role, that's so exciting.
I have a lot to learn from this little one, I'm sure.
Right? Isn't that fascinating how much they teach us?
If we just get out of the way.
Yeah. What are your core values? This might go along with strengths, but what do you feel like you most value in life?
I think that's really, I mean, there's so many. Of course, with my business, I've created some core values. But for me, it's to be in gratitude, to find the golden thread, the golden nugget, whatever, the gift in everything. I'm often made fun of because I'm thanking the person who cut me off on the road. Oh, thanks for reminding me to slow down. Thanks for telling me. And sometimes it's several on one little road trip. It's okay, what is the message here? Gratitude, I think, is something that keeps me from focusing on the negative or the lower vibration of things and getting kind of lost in that. When I know there's always, right? We always, even when we go through something rough, even if it's a moment or a year or a lifetime, we can really, I think if we really were honest and reflect that we become different or we become better or we become wiser or more welcoming or understanding. I mean, there's so many great things that come out of things. So gratitude is a big one for me.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And I feel like it's interesting that you say that because I've been focusing on that a lot lately and it keeps coming up everywhere. So thank you again for the reminder to just have gratitude in any circumstance, because you're right, we can learn something or be led to do something else because of what happens to us.
Yeah.
Along with that, when have you experienced some adversity and how did it refine you or shape your character?
There's one that really stands out. I've been sitting with this question for a few days now, and I keep thinking, oh, but there's got to be something else. And it keeps like, this conversation, I'm needing to say this. And of course, whenever we hit a point of challenge or adversity, it's not a comfortable conversation. It's not like a place that I want to go to. And I'm also very conscious that it's not a story that defines me, that it's not something that triggers me to do the work around that, to do the healing and the integration that needs to happen so that I become whole and complete because of what happened, rather than feeling like I'm disjointed or disconnected or misunderstanding or any of that stuff. And about 8 years ago, I was 50, and I had some interactions with my dad, and it's always been a really tough relationship. It's been a very confusing relationship about how he's treated me and how I think he's perceived me. And it's always made me feel very uncomfortable. And about 8 years ago, I was having a conversation with a family member who's also a nurse. And I was explaining to her this relationship. And she was like, oh my gosh, Tina, I am so sorry. I had no idea that he was treating you this way. I thought you guys were close. And I'm like, God, no. I wanted us to be close. But so she made a comment and it changed my life. She said, I wonder if he has narcissistic personality disorder. And of course, that's not a diagnosis, but my life flashed before my eyes, standing in my kitchen. All of these memories of being a child and having these experiences with him, whether it was just me and him or my brother was there and we're out doing something. My parents were divorced when I was 5, so it was visiting dad every other weekend. It all of a sudden dawned on me, it wasn't me. It wasn't my fault he didn't love me. I had been working, trying really hard for 50 years to be seen, to be understood, to be heard, to be loved, and he didn't have that capacity. It wasn't within him to do that. And oh, I mean, it was a whirlwind. And still, once in a while, a memory will come up of us doing something, which to me might feel like, oh, that was a good memory. Not that I want to taint those memories with what I know now, but it makes sense. It makes sense why he did these things or had to stand out or trying to one-up mom or that kind of thing. But just to make sure, I reached out to a longtime family friend on that side who's a psychologist. And I said, I just want to explain this. He said the same thing as my mom. Oh my gosh, Tina, I had no idea. I thought you guys were really close. And I said, I just want to make sure that I'm making the right decision for the right reason. And I'm not just making an easy choice to go no contact, because I felt that was the safest thing for me and my kids. And when I asked him, I said, does he have narcissistic personality disorder? And he said, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, yes. And of course, I know my dad's not going to go in and get a diagnosis or even go to therapy, even though it's been recommended in the past. It gave me such a sense of freedom and power to say, I have a choice now. I don't have to stay connected to this harmful person or in this harmful relationship, and I can move on. And it was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. Of course, I questioned if I was making the right decision for years. My kids couldn't understand because he was the great fun grandpa. He did the fun things and he gave them money and all that stuff. And so it was a tough couple years. But as time went on, he wasn't reaching out. He wasn't texting. He wasn't even reaching out to the kids, sending cards or anything. So it was like within a year and a half, it was like, oh, he's already moved on to another family. We don't even exist. I haven't heard from him since. Mm-hmm. And so it was to have that really sad aha moment was also very freeing, because I thought it was me. I thought I wasn't lovable because there was conditions on everything. And there was insults if my hair wasn't cut right or if I gained too much weight or whatever. And it was such a gift to me to finally have that moment. Of course, there's parts of me, it's like, why didn't somebody say this 30 years ago or 40 years ago? So I'm not sure if that answers your question as far as adversity, but that for some reason, that story or that share has been standing out the most the last couple of days for me.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. Shaping your whole life and just, it's made you who you are, the way that you've responded to it or the way that you're now responding to it, and just unpacking all of that. Wow. My mom, I recently, like you, realized that she has a level of emotional immaturity. Mm. And again, it was kind of just like a light bulb moment that, oh, maybe this is why we've been butting heads this whole time. And this is why I've sought connection other places, because she wasn't able to meet that need for me. So yeah, thank you for sharing. I'm sure that will... I love how you just stuck with your intuition to share that, because I know it will benefit a listener or even me as I reflect on it.
It's an interesting topic, if you don't mind. When I was talking to that psychologist 8 years ago, he said, you just watch. He said, in the next 10 years, psychology is coming out of the dark ages, and you're going to start seeing new awareness and new treatment plans. And we're already seeing that, right? We're seeing, whether it's the ketamine trials or these psychedelic journey to help people with PTSD or end-of-life care, and even the talk about narcissism. He was very clear with me. He says, narcissism is a spectrum. And you can be anywhere. We're all narcissistic. We all have to have that trait. It's what helps us stay alive. It's what keeps us alive because we feel like we deserve to be here, or I deserve to be living. But of course, there's those different kinds of narcissistic behaviors. And we're really quick to call people narcissistic, but being narcissistic and having the personality disorder is quite different. It's a powerful, invasive relationship. You know, it's a tough relationship because I don't think when you're in it, usually it's sensitive people who are the other side of that. And you're the one that's made to feel like you're not reading the room right. You're the crazy one. And what are you talking about? Oftentimes it's too late, or it's so late in the game that it's, wow, there's been so much damage done. So thanks for letting me share that.
Yeah. Speaking of alternative healing in different ways, let's move into what you do for your work.
Yeah. So I it's so weird to say I'm a feng shui practitioner but that's what I do. It's one of the things I do because a lot of people have, you know, a specific idea of what they think it is, or they're like, you do what? You know, they don't know at all what I do. And so it's, you know, that just kind of feeds into my whole first 50 years of my life. Let's just go through life feeling misunderstood. I have to explain myself, and people still don't get it. But that's fine. That's part of what I do. I do Chinese astrology and Chinese metaphysics being beyond the physical. So it's really looking at people, who they are through Chinese astrology, their natal chart, and then making sure that their relationships and their space, whether it's a workspace or your home, that it's supporting you, specifically your chart. There's a lot of feng shui that's very cookie cutter, and this is what you're supposed to do, and these are the do's and don'ts, and that doesn't work because we're all so unique. I've been doing this since 2005. In 2012, my feng shui master gifted me her school. She says, I want you to continue teaching. And I've been in a lot of people's homes. I've been in people's businesses. I've done probably 1,400 chart readings. And there's no such thing as normal. Everybody's so different. And we need to start understanding ourselves deeper and appreciating each other and understand one another with a different perspective. We kind of come in knowing what we know. But I'll tell you what, when somebody can sit down with their spouse or with their children and do chart readings, people just are like, oh my gosh, this explains everything. People have tears running down their face, or, oh, my husband's not just a jerk. He's just born that way, or whatever. It's just such a powerful tool. And I just love what I do. And I don't consult as much as I used to because I spend a lot of my time teaching. So I do train and certify feng shui practitioners, and thanks to Zoom, it makes it easier for me to reach people all over the world.
Yeah. So why the draw to Chinese astrology, or how did you get into it yourself?
Oh, that's a good question. I had studied with a Buddhist meditation master for 4 years in the late 1900s. It's so funny to say. And when our time was done, it was a very exclusive, esoteric, small group. And he had never taught white people before. That's what he would say. I always taught slant-eyed people. He was Vietnamese. And so he taught a very small group. And after 4 years, he left. He came to our homes and blessed our altars, and he just kind of disappeared. And I felt like there was this kind of gap. There was just kind of this, what's next? What can I do with this? And I was sitting in a feng shui workshop this girl was giving, and she said, she kept referring to her feng shui master. And I had already known some stuff about feng shui over the years, and she kept referring to her master. And after the workshop, I said, do you mind if I ask who this is? And because back then, you know, it was, you know, traveling to the East Coast or the West Coast and spending lots of money and making that work. And my kids were young at the time. And she said, yeah, she lives in Draper, Utah. And I'm like, what? That's crazy. So she said, you'll love her. Give her a call. So I gave her a call and I reached out to her and she invited me over to her house to have just a meet and greet. Because I said, I'd love to be in your class. And she said, we don't even know each other yet. Let's see if we click.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, that's kind of seemed a little harsh. I'm kind of sensitive. So I was sitting in her living room and she started asking me my birth information. And Jen, I didn't know there was Chinese astrology. So I didn't know what I was getting into. I thought I was just going to take some feng shui workshop. And she started asking me my birth information completely out of context. I didn't know what she was wanting. And she said, where were you born? And I'm thinking, you're not going to know where this is. It's not like I could say I was born in LA or Provo, Utah or anything. I can, because I'm born in this little town in eastern Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And she said, where were you born? Because you need to have that information when you pull a chart, what longitude, latitude, and that kind of thing. And I told her, and she said, I said, Newcastle, Wyoming. And I said, but I wasn't from there. My dad is from Upton and my mom is from Sundance. And she completely froze. She stopped writing. She wouldn't look up. And it was very uncomfortable. And she looked up and she said, who is your dad? And I said, my dad's name. And she flew out of her chair. She said, oh my gosh, I wanted to marry your dad. Is he still single? If he is, I'm not, but I'll make it work. So here I am, I'm 40 years old, sitting in her living room, and she grew up in the same little 400 people town as my dad. And she told me a story. She says, when I was 12, my first job was working for your grandmother. Wow. In the newspaper. Your grandma paid me 50 cents an hour. So here I am full circle. She said, I know it was your grandma that brought us together because she was my first mentor. And so that's how I was introduced to Chinese astrology. I wasn't really into the Western stuff. I knew people who were. I had had readings done. But the Chinese astrology is such a tangible, it's metaphorical, it's very literal. It's very easy for people to connect. It resonates because you're talking about the Chinese zodiac animals. Mm. You're also talking about the five Chinese elements. And people can connect to that because it's in their world. Yep. And then you include the feng shui. So when you're walking away from a Chinese astrology reading, it's not, oh, that was cool, but now what? The feng shui aspect gives it like, here's what you can do to help balance your chart out or to help you understand or make some decisions. Sorry, that was kind of a long way to tell you that's how I got into Chinese astrology.
Yeah, good. It was fascinating. So interesting how things connect. You say you mostly do teaching right now. You do some consulting on the side?
I do have a directory on my website that can direct people to my graduates. They're all over the place, and people work remotely these days, especially for home consultations. I love to work with businesses even if it's just the management team or the ownership team, to just look at each other's charts, understand each other's strengths, because a lot of times we're putting people in positions and their chart doesn't really suit that position and they'd be better served over here. Make sure that they're in the right office, that the space is laid out, and that they really understand who they are as a team or a collective or just a partnership. There's so much room there for you to really see and make some shifts so that the success of the business, the success of the team and the people, that it's more well-rounded. And I do a lot of chart readings. I love to do chart readings. I learn so much from every single chart reading I do. It's so exciting for me. And I have people that do like a first-time full reading, and all of them are recorded, and then they'll do annual follow-ups because the energy is constantly changing. So we want to be aware of what the shift is and how your chart's going to be affected by it.
Speaking of energy and working with businesses, I feel like that's a new concept to me, and I've only recently entered the entrepreneurial world. And it's interesting that really we do interact so differently and we all have different strengths and things that we bring to the table and things that drain our energy and fill our energy. So it's neat to see how you can help businesses and how that can really affect things.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a quote or mantra that guides what you do or comes to mind?
Yeah, there's one I hear it in my head quite often. It's not like I go around saying it very often, but it's definitely something, and it's a quote by Rumi, and I know Rumi's really popular, but it really comes down to that quote that's out beyond fields of wrongdoing and rightdoing. There's a field in the middle. I will meet you there. I'm really uncomfortable when somebody's coming from an extreme standpoint, because that extreme standpoint is so far over there that I feel like I have to counter that and hold the other to find the balance, to find the middle ground, to bring us both center. Because when I'm just standing in the center and somebody wants to pull me to their side, it's easier to grab me and pull me into that. That gray area in the middle is so much more room for flexibility, accountability, appreciation, connection, rather than the world is just so extreme right now. And we can't live in extremes for long periods of time. When we're living in extreme settings, our decisions are based on fear. Mm. They're not based on long term. This would be good for us 5 or 10 years down the road. It's right now I'm in dire straits and I need to get off this ship, mm-hmm. or I need to do something. So that's my favorite, is I like to live in the middle.
Yeah, I like that. It's very wise, as your friend said. I want to take it one level further too. And I feel like I've been caught a lot in the all or nothing mindset. And mm-hmm. so again, coming to the middle is a lot more possibility and openness, and just instead of being closed off or expectations too high, those types of things. I'm going to write a book in April, and sometimes I think, oh, it's going to tank, or it's going to be a New York Times bestseller. But there's so much in between.
Yeah.
It's going to be about my mom, so it could heal my relationship with her, or I can meet different people or learn different skill sets. So I like that reminder again, to just keep in the middle, not the extremes, and just keep it like that.
Do you have a favorite quote?
That's a good question. I feel like, people ask me all the time, because I am a quote collector, and quotes really resonate with me. Let me think. I shared one just the other day on another episode, so I'm trying to think if I can share a different one to finish that up. But that's a good question. I will keep thinking about that. But in the meantime, I'll have you share your website and where people can find you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'll spell it out, because feng shui is not in the English language. So my website is fengshuivia.me. That's fengshuivia, all one word, .me. So fengshuivia.me. So that's a great place to go and kind of snoop around. Also, just my name, Tina Falk. I have a YouTube channel that's got energy updates each month, or some feng shui tips, some conversations. I have a couple colleagues, we've pulled charts. We've done a group of charts like presidents, and we've done serial killers and cult leaders and that kind of stuff. So that's kind of fun to sit in and listen to. And then I'm on Instagram too, Via Feng Shui. That's the name of my school, and the name of my business is Via Feng Shui.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. I am excited to learn more from you in the future as well. I love connections. I feel like... I get to be selfish with this podcast, because I meet so many unique people, and then I also get to share those connections. So,
yeah, this is
okay. Awesome. I can't think of a favorite one. There's so many that just come to mind. So I'll just share one that's on my fridge right now, and it's in preparation for St. Patrick's Day, and it says, "Lucky is a state of mind." And so kind of going along with your gratitude, that we get to decide what our circumstances mean for us when just living in the gratitude of whatever we're going through, and that it's a choice.
So. Mm-hmm. Love that.
Great. Thank you for coming on and sharing your wisdom and what you do. And I will talk to you in the future.
Thanks so much, Jen. It's just been a pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you to Blaine at Ride the Wave Media. There's a website coming soon for Ride the Wave, but in the meantime, you can look up other podcasts by Ride the Wave Media. There are so many great ones. And it is St. Patrick's Day in the United States, so I will say that I am lucky to have him and his team. I will talk to you next week. Thank you.